Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride. Cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend. Cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Did you ever make a crappy documentary with potato-like quality? Neither did we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jessica, this episode is called Docuventary. I'm just going to vent about it's hard enough to see what's going on in this show. It's hard enough. And to be forced to watch this on, my grandfather's camcorder from 1981 is even worse. It's hard.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be a complainer. Hold on. I love Felicity's line. It was like, I was whining, but I'll stop.
Yeah.
I was complaining, but I guess I'll stop.
Well, the problem is though, Sarah, is I was excited for this episode because by the name, right? I was a documentary seems fun. They're going behind the scenes and interviewing people. And if you're venting, sounds even better. This episode felt pretty inconsequential. So I feel it was that with a combination of the fact that we're having to watch it through this horrible, horrible old person camera lens that just didn't do it for me. It's why are we breaking Felicity and Noel up to get them back together one episode later? Really? We couldn't have even held out until the finale?
Yeah, that was pretty stupid. What else was stupid? I don't know. It just felt a little boring.
Well, it feels like they're kind of rushing some stuff too. Cause the Ben stuff, which we'll obviously get into, the gambling thing. I really thought that was going to be more of an end of season thing. And it's wow, one episode in and he's already losing his mind about it. So that's not great.
Yeah. It's when you're about to have an orgasm, but you lose it, you know?
Wasn't expecting that to be the allegory, but sure.
You often
lose them?
Sometimes you do, Jessica.
Okay, all right.
It's just sometimes you get in your head, you know, and you lose it.
Okay.
It could come back, but I'm just saying.
You got to keep your eyes on the balls.
Yeah. Sometimes you lose the ball, but feeling very exciting. And then it just nothing happened. And I'm
This, I do think this is part of, I feel like this has happened a lot with us with Dawson's Creek, where you'd hit like a really good episode or two episodes, like Assassins and Happy Birthday, I think were both pretty good episodes. And then you just run into a dud. And I think that's like so common because you're riding that high of the last episode. And then it's like, meow, like not so great.
Yeah. Yeah. I could totally see that. And I just think that, I mean, there was like tidbits that were interesting, but I think like, I think it's just like, and also like Sean is interesting. And for like a Sean quote unquote centric episode, it just like pretty much wasn't. But, you know, the concept being Sean has heard of, and it's not even a business, but he's heard about a guy somewhere that sold a documentary that he worked on for millions. And now Sean wants to make a documentary about college. The issue that I had was that NYU is barely a college school. What I mean by that is like, it's not like a proper university setting.
Like they're not having shenanigans as much. Is that what you mean?
Like there's that, but it's just like, I don't know. Like it doesn't like these, they look like they're on, like, he was like, these are the dorms. And it looks like a, like an apartment complex in the city.
I know what you mean. Okay. So because it's spread out across New York City, it's not like a proper campus where everything is in one location.
Yeah. It just like, I don't know. Like there's that. And then like, I guess these kids go to school, but I don't know. Like, I think that he eventually got to the whole point of like, you know, whatever he was asking people, like when he was asking Julie, like, and Julie is like, well, you know, at first I don't have friends, but then you have friends. I think like he realized that like, yeah, the interesting shit was the Felicity and Noel stuff, but then that's not, and then he didn't even get like their reconciliation and on camera. This documentary is going to blow. No one's going to buy it. He should just leave the filmmaking to the film students.
I feel like you just need to already have like a subject matter in mind, not like I'm just gonna film my friend saying shit and then see what happens. Like, I don't know. But we start off the episode like behind the camera where Sean is filming Ben, and Ben is like not at all want to be involved in this. He like doesn't want to be interviewed. He doesn't know what to say. The only way Sean gets him back in the chair is by saying, listen, you don't have to pay me rent next month. And Ben, who is struggling financially right now, is like, yeah, sure. Okay, great. Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
But as soon as he gets back into the seat, the camera, like, I don't know, stops working and like
blows up or something like that.
It starts smoking.
Yeah, it's not doing well. Did you see that Sean has a bumper car in his apartment?
No.
There's some interesting. He has a bumper car in his apartment. Then right next to that, he has a bookshelf in the shape of a half canoe.
Oh, I did notice that. Yes, because it reminded me of Dawson's bookshelf. He had one like that too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I guess this was like the thing to do back in the day. He also has a chessboard. He has all these like little knickknacks in his apartment. But yeah.
He does seem like a knickknack guy because he has to have all his inventions around, you know?
Right. If I had an offer to not pay rent for 1 month and all I had to do was spill my guts out on a camera, yes, I will do that.
I would do it for free. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would do it for free. I mean, there's an economy going around. I kind of need some cash.
I mean, 1 month's rent in New York City especially sounds ideal. But yeah, then we get the da-doo-da-da-doo-da-doo. And then back to Felicity, who apologizes to Sally. She's like, listen, I didn't send in a tape last week. Life's been crazy. Homework's crazy. And she has this theory, Sarah. And when she said this, this just felt like something you would have thought when you were in college. It feels like something you would say. Yeah. But her theory is when she goes to the cafeteria and on Monday there's a pasta special, she knows it's going to be a terrible week.
Yeah. I mean, like this tracks. Like this definitely, I feel as though if she noticed a pattern and then if every time there's like a pasta special, she has like a workload week, of course you would associate that with the pasta. I think it makes sense. It's a very
self-fulfilling prophecy, I think.
I guess so. But like, what's wrong with a little spaghetti marinara? Like, I don't understand why
it's causing her weeks to be terrible.
Oh, that's true.
According to her.
I feel like I have experienced something like that before. I'm like, oh, like this happened. It's going to be a bad day.
I've experienced that insofar as like, it's like, oh, I woke up from a nightmare. This day is going to suck because it started out so poorly.
Yeah.
But like, there's only like, you're semi in control of that. You know what I mean? That's like, very if you have true. That attitude, like, of course it's going to suck. You got to like try to push past it or do something fun to like counterbalance it or something.
Yes, that is very true. That's the lesson that you have to learn. But mm-hmm. I don't really think that's a lesson that you know early. Now, my question is, do you think that Sally is like waiting by the door, waiting for the tapes to come?
Yeah, I do. And you want to know why? Because she has nothing better to do than to listen to Felicity's chaotic life. Like, Sally, okay, how old is Sally? We know she tutored Felicity, so she's probably out of college at this point. Why doesn't she have more to do? You know, why doesn't she have more of a life where she's not waiting for a tape from Felicity?
We don't know much about Sally at all. She very
well
alive.
We don't know.
We don't know if she's alive. I mean, we knew that she was a tutor. So is she still a tutor? Is that her job? I'm not quite sure. We know that she had a fiance that's like a little dead. But I don't really know what else Sally's up to.
The idea of a fiance who's just a little dead.
Just a little dead. Yeah. I don't know what she's up to. So like, I don't know if she has something better to do.
If we never meet Sally, I'll be pissed off.
I just feel like it's one of those things where, I mean, like, yes, I guess. I mean, like, I'm so
It's going to be like Gossip Girl where we're just going to be disappointed.
Yeah. I just feel as though, like, Sally is probably like, I'm okay. Like, you don't have to send me a tape every week.
Oh, you think the opposite. Okay, interesting. Interesting.
Like, it's kind of like one of these things where, like, you sign up for it, but you didn't realize that this was going to be like an extended task for a period of time.
Oh, you're like, oh, we'll just trade tapes back and forth for a little bit. And suddenly it's 5 years later and you're still getting tapes from Felicity every week.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. You know how much I fucking spent on postage to this bitch? Jesus
no,
Christ.
Actually, like, that's a really good point. Like, how expensive is it to mail a videotape? It can't go through standard that's USPS with stamps. You have
they didn't
to
have
ship
voice
it.
Memos back then. So,
yeah. Oh, you know what? Life would have been so much simpler if they just had a voice memo.
Really would have been.
Yeah.
But she does say to Sally that Noel, and this again is what pissed me the fuck off. We spent all last episode focusing on Noel moving. Noel's moving. Suddenly, we're 2 seconds into this episode. He's not fucking moving. He's not fucking moving. And we didn't even know why. He's just like, nah, he's not fucking moving.
It's very much like when Topanga moved to Pittsburgh. And yes. I remember it being the most dramatic thing that ever existed. And it was really just like a 2-episode arc.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
this devastated me as a child. And yet it's nothing as an adult.
I mean, like, it really wasn't. Like, she was gone for like barely a week.
Yeah. But she says, even though he's still there, they haven't talked yet. And of course, she misses him. But she'd miss him even more if she didn't have a ton of work to do for McGrath's seminar. Apparently, he's working her to the bone. And she has this conversation with Elena saying that, oh, no, McGrath, like, hates everyone except for you, Elena. And her theory is, and I love the way Felicity's brain works in this moment where she's like, he calls everyone like Miss or Mr. this or that, but you're Elena.
Yeah. The scene, like the way that Felicity said that creeped me out. I was like, I would have done a cease and desist for her.
Yeah. And I love Felicity saying, I'm not going to take it personally. And Elena saying, you take everything personally.
Indeed, she does.
True words can't be spoken.
Exactly. Let her live her life. A little
so
bit.
So funny.
Just a little.
But then we see Guy, who it's really funny that he has like a fairly decent sized chunk of this episode that he's involved in when we were like, who the fuck is this guy last episode?
Is he like the star of the show now?
I hope not, because I don't find him particularly interesting.
Does Guy have to go on the character rankings?
I mean, he's like, I don't know why we care, but he's just like, oh my God, I got tickets to Conan O'Brien. I'm so excited. Like he has to figure out who to invite now. And like the whole story is going to be, he invites all these women who don't want to go with him.
That's so sad. And then he ultimately invites Noel, who ditches him, and then he asks some rando in the streets, and that
I'd be pissed at Noel if he like ditched me as we're on our way there.
Or is it like a happy accident because he found a random girl to go with him?
I mean, maybe he ends up marrying that girl. We don't know.
Exactly. And that's the guy storyline. We can skip over the future scenes.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about him. So Sean, like you were saying, I understand what you mean. Like when Sean is kind of pointing to like, oh, this is the dorms and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, but it's New York City. So it doesn't feel.
It doesn't feel like whatever. But I guess it's interesting to see the outside of the dorms.
Yeah.
And he's interviewing Julie, and Julie is talking about how like you get the best friends of your life in college. And, you know, when you first get to college, you don't know anybody and you feel completely lost. And 3 months later, you have so many amazing friends and you're doing a documentary. And that is the college experience. Like you go there, you really don't know anybody. It's kind of a clean slate. And you meet people that a lot of people meet like their best friends for life in college.
I think it's different than high school in that like it's more like there's more intentionality behind friendships when you're, I would just say as an adult rather than even just in college, but like high school, it's like proximity. You only have so many options and you all go to the same school and you all live close by. So you naturally, you just become friends. Whereas like college and adulthood, you're usually picking friends that share similar interests to you. Like, oh, I play this sport. I like this hobby. You find people that you're close with because of that. And it's a little bit more like we have something in common versus we happen to live in the same town.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I had a lot of really good college friends, and I'm like very appreciative that a good handful of them are still in my life.
I didn't make a single friend in college, but I also commuted. And I think that was like a big, big, big reason. It wasn't what I was looking for. I wasn't actively trying to make friends, which is like, I mean, that's the thing they don't tell you about adulthood is like, it's not easy to make friends when you're an adult. Like it's actively difficult to find time to spend time with friends and, you know, emotional energy, all of that stuff. But Noel barges in as this is going on to tell Julie about like some dorm meeting or whatever. And, like Noel makes a joke about it being porn when he first walks in. And I was like, Noel, what kind of weird ass porn are you watching?
Noel, that's inappropriate, man.
Yeah. But he comes up with the name Docuventary. So we have him to thank for the episode title. And Sean,
I will thank
like,
him because that was pretty cute.
It was. And Sean is very smart because he's like, oh, you're the graphic designer guy, right? Why don't you make me a little graphic for it? This would be great.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. I like that Sean is really thinking about utilizing everybody's talents. Like if he was smart, he would ask Julie to make a little music and he would
ask. She can score it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And she can probably also sell it in the library. Along with an apple.
Exactly.
I don't know what Felicity can contribute, but I'm sure she can contribute. Oh,
maybe
no.
She could draw the like cover or like, you know, paint.
No,
you know.
That's Noel's job.
No, but I meant like, yeah, I guess so. He's doing the graphic. I don't know what I was thinking.
I mean, I guess they can collaborate on it together.
I guess so.
But yeah, I mean, I just feel like Felicity maybe doesn't have a job here and maybe that she should just.
No. Bit of a flop.
She's a flop.
Bit of a flop.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? You got no other talents.
So Noel asks where Felicity is. And she's out with Elena. And so once Noel leaves and Sean and Julie get back to it, she's like, oh, that's the flip side of making friends. And he's like, wait. This is the juice, please. What's going on?
Yeah, well, this is what he's looking for. He wants to hear the drama. Like, he doesn't really want to hear anything that has to do with, I don't know, just this is how we make friends. Kumbaya. Like, we all know that sex sells and intrigue sells and scandal sells, and mm-hmm. we need something a little bit more exciting. Now, there's more things exciting about this documentary than I would watch it. I like cult documentaries. I'm all over that. I like mess. Give me mess.
Yeah, and she says, it's hard having great friends. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to talk about the Tinder swindler, which I like that one too.
You love the Tinder swindler. I've never heard someone talk as much about the Tinder swindler as you.
It really stuck with me. That's a good documentary.
Yeah. Sean needs to take note. Take some fucking lessons, Sean.
Yeah.
So they're talking about what it's like to have friends. And so then he's interviewing, we get like a kind of like a montage of like different interviews. So he's interviewing Richard, who apparently is the middle child of seven.
Wow. That's a lot of kids.
Makes sense because he's so needy for attention.
The best of us are.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting to hear from Richard. He's one of seven.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to have a little bit more background info, right?
Sure, why not?
So then he's interviewing Lynn, and he's like, oh, the possibilities are endless. I don't know if, I think he's talking about, like, college in general. Like, oh, you could study this, you could study that. Like, it's great. You have a great day. Go with God.
I like Lynn. I'm like, fully turned around with Lynn.
I am too, especially after this episode.
And, like, I think it's kind of funny about, like, him talking later, or I don't know if it was the scene or the other, where he's like, it's stereotypes, you know? Like, people look at me and then they see my accent and they think that I'm, like, a certain type of person, but I'm really not. Like, yeah. I just felt very endeared to Lynn this episode.
The scene with him and Ben later that we'll talk about was, like, I was like, okay, I think he's doing the right thing here. Ben goes to see the financial aid office, and he's in trouble because they didn't receive his final tuition payment, and they contacted his parents, which I was like, what college does this? Like, you're on your own at this point. Like, I'd be surprised if, like, they contacted his parents. It's not high school. Ben says, yeah, my dad's trying to teach me a lesson. And I love how he says, I guess when I'm 35 or something, I'm going to look back and go, now that was a great lesson, but I don't know.
Now that I turned 35, I'm really trying to rack my brain if something was what I consider to be a good lesson.
Yeah.
In my life. And I suppose I have, like, a feeling that, you know, things, I really enjoy the, like, invisible string theory about, like, if this thing didn't happen to me, or if I didn't meet this person, then I wouldn't be here. Like, that is very comforting to me. Mm-hmm. But, like, the worst things that's ever happened to me, I still don't think that I have, like, a good, like, gather understanding about why.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. That was a good lesson to push me. I'm still, like, a little bitter. Even at 35. But yeah. Also, I think that I'm emotionally stunted by 5 years. So maybe by 40, I'll get that recognition or understanding that I'm supposed to have all of Ben.
Yeah, poor Ben. Like, the counselor does say you could take out loans or apply for financial aid, but you do have an outstanding loan of $3,200. And, like, yeah, I feel like Ben should immediately go and attempt to get some sort of financial aid or something. Like, I feel like the move is to immediately go and try for either of these options, the loan or the financial aid. Because, like, having a $3,200 bill outstanding while you have a job at a coffee shop, a part-time job at a coffee shop, and have to pay rent, like, that's a lot. That's overwhelming.
I have a crazy idea. Stop paying, but just still go to the class. Nobody's going to stop you. Like, honestly.
You're trying to pull a Eddie from Dawson's Creek.
It worked for him. It wasn't until Joey fucked everything up that he was, you know, like, he could have just stayed there and gone to class. You still get the education. No, you don't have a degree, but just ask your buddy Noel to Photoshop one for you.
Oh, my God.
And then you're fine. I mean, you think it's a bad idea. I think it's a good idea.
God. Well, Ben is in a real pickle. Felicity and Lena are talking about this final project they're going to get from McGrath, and they get interrupted by Noel, who wants to have a conversation with Felicity. And he says, hey, I got your message. You're right. We need to talk. And Elena looks like she's like, doesn't want to leave. And my mm-hmm. favorite was when she does finally leave them alone and Felicity's like, I'll just meet you in class. The nasty, dirty, stank eye she gives Noel gave me life.
Yeah, she was serving face in this episode. Love like it. She was not happy with anyone's bullshit because she just wants her friend to like cut him out of her life and absolutely stop seeing him, stop being interested in him, focus on work and school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Felicity is just like doing her own thing. And she like really isn't understanding like why Felicity is just like not like black and white cutting him off, because in Elena's mind, she did a really good job by cutting Blair out. And we haven't heard from Blair. Blair's gone.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think Elena's history with Blair certainly comes into play here. But I also feel like Elena would be very against exes in general. I don't know. Yeah. Elena just feels like, no, I'm done. Like, we don't need to go back.
When we're done, we're done. Yeah, exactly.
Which I appreciate. I love Elena. So Felicity and Noel do end up going out. They go to a diner and they have this big conversation. And Noel basically says, the reason I didn't move is because you were right. Like, I would have been running away from things. And Felicity's like, yeah, I'm really glad you stayed. And they have this whole conversation about like, oh, but can't we try again? Like, you know, Felicity is trying to have this whole mentality, Sarah, of like, things happen for a reason. And that happened so that we could come back together and be stronger than ever, sort of thing.
Yeah. Which I think in general, I agree with, just not 2 days later.
That's okay. That is where I land as well. I feel like I wouldn't mind Noel and Felicity realizing we both messed up. If we both can forgive each other, then we can get back together. But I don't know that you can really go through and process all of those emotions in this short of a time period.
Is there any way that it's been a month and
no,
it's still March. We're still in March.
Well, let me like double check. So
are we going to have a spring break episode? I need sorry.
No, you're fine. I just, when she's talking to Sally, she says, I didn't send a tape last week. Homework's been kind of crazy. And then she says, Noel decided not to move, but we haven't talked. I think it's been like a week.
Two weeks.
Maybe. 2 weeks maximum is what I would say.
Okay. Okay. It's been a little bit, but not quite a month or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I still think that they would need more time, especially because of how hurt they were by everything. But teens do stupid things, and this is a stupid thing.
Yeah, and they're really doing the thing that is so typical, I feel like, in this situation where it's like, we'll start off as friends. We're going to start over again, mm-hmm. clean slate, and we're going to be friends. And it's like, that's not how that works. Like, no. You can't just like erase your brain and forget everything and erase your emotions.
No, this is not the eternal sunshine of the spotless mind, sister.
No. So they both agree they're going to be friends. And meanwhile, how the fuck did Sean know where they were and just like secretly stealth filming them through this conversation?
I do not know, but I mean, good for Sean. Like, if he wants to be like a big brother cam, then go for it, because there is juice to squeeze here.
Except certainly
he really misses, like I said earlier, the big stuff. Like, he misses like the big confrontation.
He misses the juicy bits. He gets like the aftermath, but he's missing the confrontation. Yeah. But apparently Felicity and Noel talked so fucking long that she missed her entire McGrath seminar, which was multiple hours long.
I don't understand why they had to do it right at the second. Like, why couldn't this be after? It was so irresponsible of Felicity to miss the seminar. She knows how important it is.
And knows how many, there's only like 20 kids or 10 kids.
I know, there's 10 kids in it.
That's right, 10. So it's going to be, her absence is noticeable.
Is very, she's a dummy. Like, don't miss that class. That's the one class you really, really, really can't miss.
And
especially because you're already on his shit list.
Yes. And the fact that she shows up like literally the last minute. Why even bother showing up? Like, she's walking in as class is being let out.
That's and so it's like at that point,
just fake an emergency. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's insulting as well to this guy who gave her a second chance.
Yep.
And could have let like somebody that definitely had wanted to be there.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. So, like, she basically, they got their last assignment for the semester, and they were supposed to be grouped up in pairs, and he grouped up the last three people together, Elena with two other people, instead of Felicity getting a pair. And she tries to, like, ask him for Elena to be his her partner, and he says mm-hmm. no. And she yeah. and I mean, honestly, like, it's tough love, but I agree with it. Like, you weren't there. And why, like, he's not going to risk the other students, like, learning experience because she, like, he doesn't trust that she's fully in it. So,
because here's the thing. I do think that if not for the fact that she'd already had an issue with him of, like, her commitment being questionable, I don't think he makes this decision. I do think he's like, okay, we'll work something out. Here's your partner. I think he already doesn't trust that she's committed. And then if you're going to tie her to another person, there you're potentially putting them in danger yep. if she's not committed and doesn't fulfill her side of the bargain. So, like, to look at it from his perspective, I agree. Like, it is harsh, but, like, also, how can he trust that she's going to actually put forth the effort, especially when she's asking to be paired with Elena, who you fucking know is working her ass off. And yeah. she looks so disappointed when Felicity walks in.
Yeah, she's disappointed in her friend because yeah. not only did she miss the class, she missed it because Felicity was talking to Noel. It's honestly, it's like insulting to everybody else in that class who's yeah. working their asses off.
Yeah, and it does have one of the better lines of the episode that you mentioned earlier, where he asks, "You're not whining, are you?" And she says, "I was, but I'll stop."
I need to use that in my everyday life because I mean, honestly, I don't think I'm a complainer. I know I'm a whiner. Like yeah. I whine a lot, but I can stop. But yeah. but then I'll just start again.
It is a really good line that I definitely want to use. So we see Elena getting interviewed, and she talks about like how confident she was of like, she was so certain that this is who she was going to be and this is what she wasn't going to be. And she said she made all these like rules for herself that like, oh, don't let people see you scared. Don't let people see you cry. But then she realized that like everybody is just as terrified as she is, and she loosened up. And I have to admit, Sarah, I feel like over 19 episodes, we have seen that happen with Elena. Like, I feel like we have seen her be more social and loosen up a bit, because she found like was very, very tightly wound in the first yeah. few moments we met her.
Yeah, I definitely think that I felt like when she was saying those lines in particular, she felt looser. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like she's less, I mean, like she's still all business, but when she's not working or studying or whatever, like she feels like freer and looser, which I love.
Yeah. Yeah. We find out Guy is from Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's fun to know, I guess.
Yeah. shout out to our friend, Touchdown Tommy.
Yeah. Tommy loves Buffalo.
Yeah.
Lynn, this is the part where Lynn talks about the stereotypes, and he's like, people hear me talk and they think I'm gonna be one thing.
I like Lynn. I don't know. I
mean, he is growing on me.
I don't know where his girlfriend is, but
yeah, she disappeared.
I guess she's just not important, but I think like he's like a fun character and he's kind of like a bro for Ben, but he's not like a jerky bro.
And he's not a dumb bro either. He says, I know all about the bell curve. I have friends in France.
Don't we all? Don't we all, Lynn? Yeah. Friends in France. He's not a dummy.
He's good at three things.
No. Well, three things plus one.
Plus one.
Plus one.
Plus he has friends in France. Then we get an interview with Chloe and she talks about like she loves being a librarian. And Sean is breaking the fourth wall and he's like, you're just so cute. Like, so they're still dating. It seems like she wasn't blowing him off.
Wow. She was a little surprised that he kissed her though.
But okay, do you think she was surprised that he kissed her in general, or was she surprised he kissed her because they're in the middle of making the documentary?
I don't know. I can't read Chloe because I don't know Chloe, because we didn't go on the date with Chloe and we didn't see how she interacted with Sean.
She did smile when he kissed her. So yeah, that's a good sign. But yeah, she does look surprised by it.
I suppose. Felicity asked Noel for some help doing her reports because
did you skip over the Ben scene where we find out his parents are separated now?
I guess I did.
So that feels like, as much as like we're gonna condemn Ben a little bit later for some of the choices he makes, he's really having a rough time of it, where like he's been cut off financially, and we know that like there's a abuse situation happening in his home that like he had to deal with as a kid, and his mom finally left, but like he says he does think it's the best thing. It looks like he's like crying as he's talking about it too, but I also wonder like, okay, if his dad cut off him, did his dad also cut off his mom when she left? Like, it makes me wonder.
I feel like it, but also I feel like there's, I don't know, maybe she's not getting anything from the divorce, or maybe they had like a prenup or something. What about the alimony payments?
Yeah, it's true. But especially if he's that well off. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy for Ben's mom that she was able to get out of a bad situation.
Yeah.
But it's sad that like Ben's going through it and he doesn't really have like a very good support system in place, and he doesn't seem to be telling his girlfriend
anybody, and he says it happened weeks ago and he hasn't told anybody, and maybe he thinks like Julie's dealing with so much already with her family and like he doesn't want to burden her. Like, we all know people like Ben who like they don't say the things because they don't want to be burdens to other people and they're just going to handle it internally, but you can see he's like kind of shutting down at this point. Like, he's really going through it.
Come on, pull through, Ben. Poor Ben.
Yeah. Noel is being interviewed and he talks about like being an RA and it helps him pay for his tuition and he wanted to help people. He had like a really bad RA when he was a freshman. And I love, he's like, he slept with every girl. And Sean's like you slept with Felicity.
Get him.
And Noel's like, I never slept with her. And then Sean brings up Eli and he's like, didn't she sleep with another guy? And Noel is just like, I don't know. We're not doing this. I'm not in the best mood. Yes, she slept with someone else. It's making me crazy. And then he explains the whole situation to Sean. And while this is happening, Sarah, I was like, oh, Sean is secretly filming. Like, cause I kept seeing him move the camera and that was all that my head could think.
Was he not? He was.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
He says a documentary. Oh my God. He's terrible.
He says, I wish I had my camera going. It's terrible. He really should have been filming this.
He's just the worst documentary dude ever. Like, he really just can't get it together. He has nothing, to be honest with you. If you don't have,
if you got to hear it from the horse's mouth, is that
exactly? Yeah. And they can't recreate it.
No, it's going to seem disingenuous.
Exactly.
But yeah, so this is where we like Noel talks about like, oh, I've considered talking to a counselor. And Sarah, you and I were like, talk about therapy on a 90s show. Yes.
Yay. Yes. Go to the counselor. Do it. I believe in you.
Except then he says, oh, I also thought about calling a hypnotist. And Sean is like, that's what we need for the documentary. Yes. The hypnotist.
Great idea. Go to the hypnotist. This is so good. Genius. So yeah, he says he had like an uncle who was like the quit smoking trope.
Yeah.
You quit smoking.
He became a lobbyist for anti-tobacco legislation.
Wow.
So he's really against smoking.
Very, very against smoking.
Yeah.
So then he decides to go to the hypnotist, which seems like a waste of time, but
seriously,
here we are.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go to the hypnotist.
Yeah. I couldn't believe this plot line. I'm like, really, we're doing this? Okay. Lane is harassing Ben at Dean and DeLuca. Ben is not wearing a hat at Dean and DeLuca because he never wears a hat at Dean and DeLuca. But he's like, oh, look at this guy. You know what's great? Look at his hair. Look at him. And he's like trying to get free brownies from Ben. This is where I was really softening to Lynn because I really enjoyed the Raz.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets his free coffee, but he doesn't get the brownie. And I just want to know, like, what does the brownie look like? I love a brownie moment.
I think it's right in front of him. Ugh. I could see it. They're like in those little individual. It kind of looks like they're sitting in a little like a cupcake paper.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Yes, yes.
They look good, I will say. Ugh. I love a brownie. Like, yeah. Okay, is this controversial? Am I about to say something controversial? Brownies are probably better than cookies.
I don't know. That's crazy. Okay. Controversial.
I feel a little bit better now that you've heard it. Although I will say, like, me and my family's Christmas cookies mm-hmm. are like better than most brownies and cookies.
I mean, like, that seems a little biased, but sure.
Obviously.
But okay. Fresh. So hold on. This person in 2013 did a Dean and DeLuca blog. okay. Her blog is called Brownie Points.
And she 10 out of 10. Love
she
it.
Goes around and talks about sweets. So she got a specialty brownie from Dean and DeLuca in the Georgetown Dean and DeLuca in 2013. And it is a cherry brownie. And this thing looks good. No,
I want cherry in my brownie.
I want cherry in my brownie. This thing looks good. I would fuck with this so bad. Here, it has like a cheesecake brownie swirl on the top with cherry bits.
Okay, I take it back. I will absolutely fuck with that brownie.
Do you see how moist that brownie
That's
is?
That's what I was gonna say. Because miss me with the cake style brownies. Fuck off. I don't want a dry ass fucking brownie.
No.
I want moist brownie.
It looks very, very good.
Can I tell you what place used to have very underrated brownies? And keep in mind, I'm talking 15 years ago.
Okay.
Starbucks.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. I worked at a rest area and I worked at a Starbucks for a little while. And my dad, it was so funny. My dad, a big sweets guy, loves sweets. Like, where definitely where I get my sweet tooth from. He loves any kind of Danish pastry, anything. He was like, oh my God, Starbucks has good brownies. Can you get me one? I used to steal brownies for him from my job.
You
I steal them for myself
are
too.
A criminal.
I mean, literally, if you worked at it, if you were in the food service industry and you weren't stealing your like lunches and dinners and stuff, that to me that's comp. That they owe me. You know, I made it.
Jessica.
I know. This is the one time I'm a criminal.
Criminal. I found this cherry cheesecake brownie recipe.
Oh, are you going to make it?
I want
to. That looks good.
It looks so good. But the issue is that my beloved doesn't really like chocolate.
Oh, well, what if you made them and brought them to your little, cross-stitch?
I mean, he'll eat them. Needlepoint. He'll eat them, but he prefers a blondie.
Oh, I do like a blondie.
And
he prefers a blondie.
I never really thought about it that way.
That is so funny.
That's cute.
Oh, what a cute little joke.
The blondie. but also he's like very firmly like fruit doesn't really belong in dessert guy.
Oh, see, no, I couldn't disagree more with that. Fruit is delicious. Like, I mean, it depends, obviously. I'm a big fan of like, have you ever made if you're going to make a box brownie, the Ghirardelli ones? So good. Oh my God. So good because they have this little like fudge packet that comes with it that you mix in. Oh my God, it's so good. Now I'm hungry. Okay, so Lynn doesn't get his brownie. Poor Lynn. Ben shows Lynn his paycheck and he's like, oh, you got paid. But then he looks at it. And so this is like the problem, right? Where even though Ben is doing an honest job, you know, he's at a coffee shop, he's not making that much and he's really struggling. And so he asks Lynn, oh, hey, can you put my check on this like game coming up? What, I don't know what sort of game it is, but it's some sort of game, some sort of sports situation. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, my guy Barry won't. He's like, oh, he's not going to take this like low amount. And so instead,
what is it, like $10? Like what's on, yeah, what's on the check? What's on the check?
Not much, I guess. But Ben says, okay, double it. I'm good for it. And it's just like, so Ben signs the check over to Lynn. And I think the thing is Lynn doesn't know that like this is literally all his money right now. Like he'll find out later, which is why I think he accepts it at this point. And then Lynn's so kind. He's like, oh, come later. We're going bowling. It's on me. Like, so sweet.
Yeah, I was like, why does he want Ben to go bowling so bad?
Because it's his friend. He wants him to go bowling.
Here, come to a double date or like be the third wheel on my date to go bowling.
Listen, is he going on a date with his girlfriend who we haven't seen? Seriously?
I think so. I think that he said that he was bringing quote unquote Nicole.
Okay, maybe that's
whoever Nicole is. Is Nicole on the swim team too?
I think she was, yeah.
All right, well, you know, everyone's going. I like it. Everyone's going.
Yeah.
Let's go bowling.
Yeah, so Sean is still trying to film people. Felicity is, like, avoiding him. Guy talks about how complex he is and that when he's 30, he's going to get tons of chicks.
No.
Sure, guy. Sure.
No, I don't think so.
It's just not going to happen.
I just don't think it's happening.
Yeah. And then we get Sean asking Julie about Hannah. And Julie says, some people say she was being manipulative. We said that. But I think she was just lonely. I think it can be both, Julie.
Julie, stop being a fence sitter. You don't have to see like the best in everybody, Julie.
Julie is very much that nice girl who's just like, yeah, oh, they didn't mean to do that. And you're like, Julie, can you just call someone a bitch for like a hot second? Just one time. Yeah,
Julie, say that she was a whore and tell her to go away. Please.
Especially because you gotta be on Felicity's side. Girl code, you know?
Yeah. She is not a girl coder. Unlike Elena.
Yeah.
Elena is. Julie is a fair weather girl's girl.
Yeah. Elena says, I've made some really good friends here. Felicity, for example, that's my girl.
That's my girl. Yeah. I mean, Felicity.
I fucking love Elena. Like, obviously, yeah. I was going to love Elena, but like, I love Elena. Elena is my girl, actually.
Well, I think it's like one of those things where like Felicity really showed up for Elena, especially in the Blair situation.
Well, so, the thing is Felicity half showed up at the Blair situation. And I think Elena gives her a little bit too much credit, but ultimately she was there for her.
So like, I think that like once she's like, your person, like she's your person.
She's all Carolina. In. She's mm-hmm. very like Christina Yang in that way, I feel like.
Who's Christina Yang?
Oh, from Grey's Anatomy. Sorry. Some people will get that reference.
Okay. Okay.
So Felicity goes to see Noel and she's like, oh, listen, like I have this final project that has like all these graphs and charts and all these other things. And like, I know things are awkward, but I need to use Photoshop on your computer, like if I can. And meanwhile, Nola's working on the documentary graphic.
Yeah, that graphic looked dire, but.
Yeah. Yeah. But he says, he's like, no, of course, use it right now. Also, can I just say, and you know me, like, I don't mind Felicity's sweaters, like most of the time, right? I'm not offended by her outfits 90% of the time.
Yeah.
This outfit is so bad. So she has her hair in like a low ponytail, which I also it's not like I don't think it looks very good for Felicity. I like it when her mm-hmm. hair is just like big and it's in charge.
The hair has not been big recently, but go on.
Sad. She is wearing a shirt that I think Corey Matthews would have worn on Boy Meets World. It is like a 12-year-old boy shirt. It's like a polo that's like green with red or green with blue and yellow and red like stripes mm-hmm. on it. I hate this shirt. It's so
you're saying that
ugly.
She's looking like a sewer rat.
It's looking dire.
Yeah. I've been saying ever since the breakup, she's looked like such like an ugly hoe.
Well, I think thing is I don't know what the thing is. I just can't stand this outfit. I mean, what's yeah, she has like thing? A red cami on underneath.
Tell no, me I just, what the thing is.
Okay, what I was going to say is, because again, I like Felicity's sweaters. Like, I think her style it fits the character.
Sure.
But where I struggle is like, because I was with you where I was like, okay, she just went through a breakup. We're giving her a bit of grace. You know, she could wear sweatpants for 10 days. That's okay. But now she's in the stage of wanting to get back with Noel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought she was going to come in something a little spicier.
So she has to look hot again.
I thought she was going to put a little more effort.
You would think.
And this is not me criticizing. Listen, I have like a raging zit on my face right now that no one can see. Like sometimes you just look like a basket case and that's mm-hmm. how life goes.
Mm-hmm.
But this shirt is not it.
When can we see Felicity dress like a slut? Because that's what I want to see.
You would have thought it would be Halloween, but she was not. No.
Okay. I just want her to dress like a slut. Just
once. I think it'll happen eventually. I think it will.
Yeah.
So, but then Felicity needs help because she's not that proficient in Photoshop, and obviously Noel is.
What a dummy. So, she's like, oh, this annoyed me so bad. He was like, do you need help like adding a layer? She's like, yes, I need to know how to add layer. It's like, that's literally the first fucking thing that you learn in Photoshop. That's the easiest shit that's ever existed. I could not believe she's like, I need help learning how to make a layer. You go to the tab that says layer. It's right next to image and type. Then you click new. Then you click layer. There you name your layer. Okay. You have a layer. Why do you need help? It's right there. It says layer. Can you imagine Felicity being like, where in the world is this computer? I don't understand. Where's the layer? I can't find it. Is it in file? No. Is it in select? No. It can't be in layer. That wouldn't make sense at all. Felicity, stupid asshole. Just know how to do one little thing. It's just make a new layer. It's so easy. That's the easiest thing. That's the one thing. That's the one thing. Oh, I'm so stupid. Also, that's one way how to add a layer. There's other ways how to
add a layer. If you talk me through another way to add a layer, that's not where we're going on this.
Okay. Okay. In the layers tab, there is a plus button. When you hit the plus button, it adds a layer. I just add 50 layers. I just added like 10 more just now. Add layer, add layer. I've made 29 layers. 35 now. It's just so easy to add a layer. He's like, do you need help adding a layer? I wish I would have been like, bro, some mansplaining. Of course I know how to add a layer. That's the easiest thing to do.
I've lost track of how many times you've said the word layer, but it's lost all meaning to me at this point.
It was so dumb.
Noel gets up to help her, but when he reaches for the mouse, like her hand's on it, and it's like, it's a little awkward. And then he says, like, they're like, he goes back to reading while she's working on the computer, and he says, like, I can't just pretend like nothing has happened. Like, I know stuff happened, and like the fact that you slept with Eli when he didn't mean anything, like, makes it worse. Or maybe it just, at least it doesn't make it better. And he says, like, listen, and I like the way he says this, where he says, I hurt you too. I know that. Oh, he says he's been soul searching for weeks. So I guess weeks have passed.
Okay. This is like that Survivor thing where it's like several means seven. How many creek weeks have passed when you say it's been weeks?
I think it's been 2 weeks.
Two to three weeks, the most.
2 to 3 weeks.
Because you wouldn't say.
He would have said a month if it was 4 weeks.
It's been a month. Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's been 2 to 3 weeks. So I think like the timeline still tracks, but.
Yeah. And he says like, yeah, I've been soul searching for weeks and I don't know how to get past this. He says, I don't have the capacity. I can't just start over. I don't know how to be like friends with you. And he says like, he can't do it. And he just like, yeah, he can't do it.
Yeah, because it's hard, because it hasn't been enough time, because they haven't worked through it emotionally yet, because they're not ready to be back together. But that doesn't stop them later, so there we go.
Yeah, and then we hear Daryl's point of view, the other RA, who gives a single fuck what Daryl thinks. He says, oh, I could never forgive that girl. Getting down with another guy? Forget it. Fuck off, Daryl!
Daryl... I have nothing to say to you, essentially. Yeah. You, because I barely know who you are.
Yeah. My favorite is when Sean asks Ben, how does it feel to be replaced by Eli? It used to be Ben or Noel, and now it's Eli or Noel. And Ben just goes, so what?
Ben really doesn't care.
Ben is going to, like, get kicked out of his apartment and, like, drop out of college. These are the least of his concerns.
Yeah, and then he's going to lose all of his money and his children's money and his grandchildren's money to sports betting.
I fully believe him when he says that, like, he does not care.
I mean, like, why would he? It's so, like, inconsequential to him, the fact that Felicity had a crush on him in high school. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter to him at all.
Yeah, he's over it. What do you think of Sean, or not Sean, Noel's documentary graphic?
Ugly.
Did you see what it was?
It's ugly.
Yeah, it's like, it's honestly kind of post-show recap-y. There's a TV, and inside of it are the words documentary.
I can do that in 1 second.
There you go. Guy comes in, he's like, hey, you look Conan O'Brien, right? And it turns out he asked 12 girls before he asked Noel. But
not as bad as I thought it could be.
Yeah, but Noel's gonna go because they're besties, apparently. So okay. We have to talk about Felicity's proposal for her project. This is unhinged.
Okay, so the proposal is she wants to do a study of is divorce or breakups or long-term relationships, like, hereditary.
Right. She says, like, is love genetic? Is it a genetic condition?
Mm-hmm.
She says, like, I think it's interesting why some people stay together and others break up. Mm-hmm. So there's 40 couples, 20 that are successful, basing success on partnership of 10 years or more, 20 mm-hmm. that are divorcing or splitting up after 2 years or less. And she's mm-hmm. going to, like, have genetic markers and all of this stuff.
I'm interested to seeing those results. I think that, like, I mean, I don't know, like, if I consider it unhinged, I think it's, like, interesting. I think that I don't know if there's any findings, because in my opinion, I think it's more psychological than it is genetic.
But yeah, it's very much, in my opinion, like, whatever the one, like, did you have role models that were in love mm-hmm. to look up to throughout your childhood? Like, did you form attachments, you know, mm-hmm. and like healthy attachments? Like, yeah. I don't think it's genetic. I just think it's like, it just feels like a crock of shit to be like, I'm going through a breakup right now. Let me use it for my thesis, for my very, very important doctorate seminar.
I feel like there is somebody out there that has done these studies and probably was praised for it. Maybe. I don't think it's like a stupid idea.
I don't know.
Genetic markers for divorce.
What are your findings, Dr. Ferguson?
Virginia Commonwealth University's Jessica Salvador, PhD, believes that hereditary personality traits such as impulsiveness and neuroticism may to be blamed. And those personality markers lead to divorce. So right.
Why she got to call me out? Like,
it's like impulsiveness.
I'm
yeah.
I'm not impulsive though.
So like they're saying that, like, maybe not necessarily like divorce, but it causes you to have.
I mean, I could have said that if you're neurotic and impulsive. Yeah. Maybe not the best thing for a healthy relationship all the time.
Sure.
Duh. But I don't know.
Behavioral geneticists have found that both marriage and divorce are in part genetically influenced. So I think that there's something to it. I would have to read this boring medical journal to tell you why they believe that and what their findings are. But yeah, this medical journal entry had like 10 doctors working on it. This is like actually a interesting thesis. Okay. I think that I give her more credit, but yeah, very heavily influenced on life experience at the moment. I'm curious what Elena is working on.
Yeah, I would want to know that as well. So Felicity begs one more time, please let me work with Elena, please. And he says, no.
I'm sure the Elena went to the teacher and was like, I really just do not want to be partners with Felicity.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't want to work with Felicity. We're at the hypnotist, and Sean had told the hypnotist that Noel was addicted to a person.
Yeah, okay.
In order for this to work.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, okay, I might be able to make this work. And so he tries to put Noel, like, under some kind of, like, spell or something.
Some spell. Yes, yeah. Under hypnotism. Do you believe in hypnotism?
You know, I don't know. I think it's one of those things that, like, minds are curious things, right? Like, I think there's something to it, but I don't. I think it's the same thing as, like, I think there are certain people who probably have the ability to, like, get into your mind and root around, but I don't think that's every hypnotist out there. Like, there are certainly a lot of crackpot hypnotists. And on top of that, I don't think that it would work for everybody. Like, I feel like it has to be the right combo of, like, hypnotist and person whose brain is susceptible to being hypnotized.
Sure. According to the Mayo Clinic, according to the Mayo Clinic, hypnotism is a effective way to help with anxiety.
Oh, look at that.
Pain and stress. So if the Mayo Clinic says it, then I suppose it's true.
They are well researched. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I always kind of just believed that it was a crock of shit. But I did read that book where a guy successfully murdered people based solely on hypnosis. So,
oh my God.
I told you about that book. I finished that book with you.
Oh, that book.
Yeah.
That's okay. I didn't realize it was the same book because I thought you told me that, like, it was something about, like, his wife and, like, didn't recognize
him. No, that's a different book. That's a different book.
Oh, sorry.
We were talking about face blindness. So I read this other book where a man discovered that he was married to the woman that murdered his mom, but he didn't know because he had face blindness.
Oh my God. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And this is what happens when you follow, like, the Reasons book club books, pretty much.
That was on Reason. Okay. I can't.
I think so. I know at the very least the hypnosis one was.
But I do love Sean trolling Noel and getting the hypnotist to make Noel think that water tastes like lemon juice. So we see Noel just spit out.
That really seems like not like a good thing.
Not long term, no.
No, because then you can't drink water.
Well, I think maybe it's temporary. Hopefully he reversed it. So Sean is finally getting to interview Felicity. And Megan comes in and she's all pissed off. She's like, wait a minute, did you just ask me to be in your movie? And he goes, yeah. And she goes, no. And she slams the door. I don't know why it tickled me so much. I just thought it was funny. She's like, absolutely not.
Megan does not want to be interviewed for the movie.
No.
She's very private. Very private.
I mean, yes, she's very private. We'll never know what's in the fucking box.
Will we know? Do we, you know what we need?
What?
A magic eight ball to tell us.
Oh.
You have one of those?
No, but there's probably one online.
Okay. Digital magic eight ball. Okay. Okay. All right. Magic8ball.com. All right. So I have to type in my question. Will we ever find out what's in Maggie's box? Okay. And then I hit enter.
Oh my God.
Oh, I have to shake it. Okay. It's shaking. Cannot predict now.
That is, oh my God, that's the try again later option. Bullshit.
Okay, I'm trying it again. My reply is no.
Wow, we're never going to find out.
We're never going to find out what's in Maggie's box.
I'm upset right now.
I'm going to throw this magic eight ball at the wall. Or I'm just going to click out of it. That's the equivalent.
So Sean asks, like, okay, so, like, tell me about your relationship. And Felicity's trying to say, like, her biggest lesson. And she's just, like, kind of word vomiting, where she's talking about, like, suddenly there's this tornado and it comes out of nowhere and it's nobody's fault. Maybe it'd be brewing for a while, but anyway, everything is just ripped apart and blown open, and you're just left there to figure out what goes where. And she says, the person you thought you'd be with for a long time, sometimes you're wrong. Relationships are hard.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I understand, like, she's going through a lot. So, like, you know, she doesn't necessarily have coherent thoughts on all of it. And she's in the middle of it, you know, like, she's really in the hub of this breakup still.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting that was what Sean showed to Noel to prove that she was still interested. It wasn't very definitive.
It wasn't like, I still love Noel.
Yeah. Like, if I was a person that was, like, debating on getting back together with my ex and was shown that clip, I feel as though I'd be like, like, I need, like, a proclamation of love.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's that definitive.
The magic eight ball would say try again later.
So then we're at the bar, and unfortunately the bet that Ben placed lost. And so he asks, like, oh, well, Ben, will Barry, the better guy, lend me some cash? And Lynn's like, no, you do not want to do that. Like, just go to the ATM. And Ben's like, oh, I need this. And Lynn doesn't even realize, like, oh, no, Ben, what Ben is saying is he has literally $0.
Yes. Yeah. And he didn't realize, because once again, we're at, like, NYU. Like, Ben came into the school being well off from California. Mm-hmm. So, like, he didn't really understand, like, the whole situation. And of course, like, I think that Lynn, rightfully so, feels a little bit responsible for the fact that, you know, Ben is, like, at zero and is seeming, like, desperate, and then introduced him to a vice that is not healthy for him. So he rightfully so is like, I'm not doing this for you, which does not make Ben happy.
No, Ben is, like, demanding Barry's number. He's like, just give it to me. I'll call him myself. And Lynn is very much like, listen, like, you're going to get deeper in the hole. Like, no, you need to not do that. And I don't know. It's just, Lynn is trying to talk to, like, sense into Ben. He's just like, don't do it. Like, you're doing a bad thing. And Ben is just, like, really upset. Like, he shoves Lynn, and then they get into a big altercation, which was great for Sean's documentary, because he was sitting right there with his camera.
Yeah, he was really happy with the fact that he got at least something interesting going in this documentary.
Yeah. So it's not looking great for Ben. Like, gosh, he's out of money. He has his Dean and DeLuca job, but that doesn't pay very much. And he's going to need to pay rent. Like, is he going to move into the dorms with, like, student loans or something? Like, what do we think is going to happen?
I think that is probably, I'm like, he's going to have to take out loans, right? There's, like, there's no other way.
There was one other thing I was thinking that could happen that is, like, sad, but, like, what if, like, his mom gets back together with his dad, and, like, his dad is like, okay, I'll give you money again. I don't know. I don't want that to happen, but
I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a little anticlimactic. I'm not quite sure.
Student loans make the most sense. It's just, where's he getting the rent money from, though?
But maybe that's boring. Like, maybe that's a boring storyline. Oh, I just got student loans.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe he gets kicked out of school, and then we just see him, like, working.
Oh, God, that's sad. Yeah, I don't know. I just like, it's obviously going to affect his relationship with Julie because like he didn't tell her about that in any or anything like that. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a tough day to be old Ben, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a good day to be on Team Noel.
I just feel bad for Ben more than I'm like angry at him, you know?
You pity Ben.
I do. I really pity him right now.
Pity Ben.
So I love Elena commenting on Hannah and Noel and everything. I love her saying, I thought I knew that guy. And Felicity, she goes off and sleeps with that art student. What the hell was that? And then when Megan is asked what it's like to live with Felicity, she says it's like living with a TV that's always playing Little House on the Prairie, only with more sweaters.
That was a very funny line. More sweaters, more neuroses. More yeah. Whining. It's just all of the above.
I loved it so much. And we hear from Richard. He loves it when Felicity and Noel are dating because he could bribe him. And he's like, I could get away with all sorts of stuff. So
like
so
his funny. Sound system.
Yeah. And barbecuing, the whole thing. I love Megan saying when asked about Felicity and Noel, she says, first of all, no one could care less than me. Second of all, get over it, Noel. She slept with an artist. It doesn't matter.
It's just an artist. Yeah. It's a dime a dozen. There's plenty in New York. Just plenty.
I just can't. I love Megan saying, if Noel asked me one more time if I've seen Felicity, I'm going to kill him. I feel like he does do that a lot.
He does. That's his thing. That's their thing. That's their special bonding moment every week. Mm-hmm. Maybe he shouldn't stop doing it.
Have you seen Felicity? Megan just loses her fucking mind. She pulls out whatever's in that box and attacks him with it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I would love to know, but we'll never know.
Not according to the Magic 8 Ball.
No, I will never forgive that 8 Ball.
So Sean and Noel are finishing up Noel's interview. And yeah, it's just like Sean says to Noel, you guys mean more to each other than like you think. Go talk to her, like fight for your relationship and also let me videotape it.
Fight for your right to party, right?
Ridiculous. Noel says that like he thinks that Felicity never felt about him the way he felt about her. And I find that to be really fucking awful. Like, I just, first
is
of all,
Noel, true?
No, like, no, because first of all, Noel left her for Hannah. So right? I don't understand why you say Felicity didn't feel as much for you as you did for her when you were the one who like initiated the breakup. And like,
true.
Is his reasoning, again, I'm not trying to go back to this like, well, constantly, but like, is it because she wouldn't sleep with him? Like, is that why? Because she slept with Eli and not him? Like, obviously maybe. She liked Eli more. Like, I just don't think his logic, like, makes any sense.
I think it's the fact that, like, he was chasing her up. And, like, I think that if one person is pursuing the other person and trying to advance their relationship and the other person is the one being chased, I think it creates, like, a power dynamic that, like, the person that's the chaser is like on a different level than the chasee. Yeah. And I think that like he feels like that he was putting in the work and then he was being, you know, respectful about her pacing. And then he also sees that like she just was intimate with Eli. And I feel like he feels like he was a step ahead of her at all times. And in his mind, that means that he loves her more than she loves him. But in reality, I think that she was just like processing what she exactly wanted. Yeah. And ultimately she did want Noel, but she wanted to like curate a full relationship with him. And ultimately he, you know, kind of had like the grass is always greener idea. So
yeah, it just feels like it doesn't feel very healthy in a relationship to be like I love you more than you love me or you love me. It's just like it shouldn't, I don't know, it just feels weird to me. And I know they're young and like it's college and everything, and like obviously if it feels like there's an imbalance, that's a problem. But this is when Sean gets up and he shows Noel his interview with Felicity. And we do get like extra information. So like the scene must cut off earlier and we don't see the full thing she says. But when he plays it, she says, "The thing that I realize now, of course, now is that I love him." Mm-hmm. And then Sean says, "Which one?" And she says, "Noel, of course, Noel."
And I think that that's really what maybe Noel needed to hear, was that like he was feeling those feelings for her. But once again, mm-hmm. like this was her first relationship. She's not the type of person to like jump in and be like, "I love you." Like, I think that like, especially with, like Ben, like that was like a really fostered crush for years before she like opened up to Ben. And like, I think that she just needed more time to like stew in it.
Well, and it's her first relationship. Like, mm-hmm. I think, and she has a lot going on. Like, she's in college. Like, she has this like very intense like seminar she's in. Like, there's a lot going on. I think Noel is the kind of person who like puts 100% of him into a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think Felicity has like a lot of other stuff going on that she's also focused on. Like, he puts her priority number one and maybe he's priority number two for her. And like, I don't think that's wrong. Like, I just think like she has a lot going on. Like, that's the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, like, ideally, like with the perfect partner, I feel like your priority should align. But
well, especially, I mean, I also because think this is like they're happens. In college right now. Like, yeah. You know, like I would say Felicity is correct for having college as her first priority, or it should be. I mean, obviously it wasn't when she missed the seminar, but like, I think that it should be her first priority at this point in her life if she wants to succeed in that particular field. Like,
yeah, ideally. But then like, once again, that's why Noel feels like he's not loved and appreciated, because he feels like he is clearly putting her first. And I mean,
now,
well, no, at one point in time, but like,
yeah,
he's putting her first, and she, like, he didn't feel like he was a main priority for her. And that like creates these like are the same feelings, like, of like, I love her more than she loves me. Like, it's just like, I just understand from Noel's perspective, like, why he was feeling that way, because,
yeah. It's all just like very interesting too to hear after the fact, right? Like, not during him having all the conflicting feelings with like Hannah and Felicity and everything. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe he needed clarity, maybe he needed time, right? Like, I don't know. But like, I kind of get it. And that's why I think Noel has like a decent episode this episode. Like, I still think what he did was wrong. And like, you know, I don't think he should be shaming Felicity for what she did. But like, I understand where he's coming from a little bit better than I did before. And so he goes and he finds Felicity. He left Guy on the street with some girl to go to Conan O'Brien. And he meets up with Felicity and he says that, if we can't figure out a way through this, like, to forgive each other for what each of us did, then I underestimated what we are. And he says he loves her. And he says, "I have since I met you, and I'm just sorry it took all this for me to say it."
Wow.
I really hate when people are like, "I loved you from the minute I saw you." And I'm like, lies and deception. It's not how
maybe
it works.
Maybe he did.
But I do not believe in love at first sight. Like, I feel like love at first sight devalues what the word love means in a lot of ways. Like, you can't love someone without even knowing them. That's not a thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously I believe in like lust and first sight.
Yeah. But... oh, you can want to fuck someone instantly when you see them. But
yeah, I mean, but to love somebody, I feel like is it definitely like you just have to like, like know them.
You have to know them on a deep level. Like, you have to know. You have to know them to truly love someone. You have to know them. And that's impossible to do at first sight.
Yeah.
So then Richard's being interviewed and he's like, "Oh, I hope they get back together, because I wouldn't be allowed to install my surround sound system."
Priorities. We all have our own priorities. His is the sound system. Godspeed, Richard. I hope you get your sound system. And I hope you enjoy your barbecues inside.
Julie's asked about Felicity and Nolan. She says, "I hope they get back together. They make a good couple." Guy says they have destined chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
Yeah, we're getting like the wrap up. They're everybody wants them to get back together. And I guess they feel that, like, oh, the audience too wants them to get back together.
It's been one fucking episode.
Yeah. It's just like not that well, like, deserved to have a like, oh, we're back together. Yay.
Yeah.
But all it kind of like it really does remind me of like Ross and Rachel. Like they're gonna be like off and on constantly.
It feels that way, yeah. So then he's finally interviewing Felicity and Noel. And he asks, are you back together? And Noel says, we don't know. And Felicity says, oh, we're just going to see how things go. And Sean says, oh, but for my happy ending, can you give each other a kiss?
Ooh.
And Noel's like, I told you we weren't going out. And he's like, come on, it has to be steamy. We have to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And they like go up towards the camera to like shut it off. And I love Megan getting the last word. And she says, if they get back together, I'm going to throw up. I'm not kidding. I'm going to vomit on this carpet and you can videotape it.
She's insane. But
I love her.
Yeah, I'm really starting to enjoy Megan.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know.
I think it's like Sense Assassins maybe is when I really was like, okay, I'm all in on her.
I just needed the depth from her, you know?
Yeah. Well, then we met her family now. We know she has secrets. Yeah. Well,
so many secrets.
That was documentary. Who would you want to give the winner point to? Who won this episode?
I do kind of want to give it to Noel because he wasn't an asshat this episode. But like,
I think our options are Noel. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Oh, Lynn. I think Lynn is a good option.
Let's give it to Lynn.
He was a very good friend.
Yeah, give it to Lynn.
All right,
I'm gonna give
the point to Lynn. Lynn gets his first point.
I'm so happy for you, Lynn.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to know what next week's episode is titled?
Yes, please.
Connections.
Ooh.
I don't know why I was thinking like flight connections when I read that.
That is not what I thought.
No, it's probably not that.
Yeah, I thought like social connections or friend connections or love connections. I did not think of flight connections.
Well, you know, that's my brain.
Unless they're going on spring break.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Then I don't think it's flight connections then. Where are they going? They have nowhere to go. They have to go to school.
They have to go to school. Anti-penultimate episode, Connections. That's what we have to look forward to next week.
This is the second to last episode?
No. Connections is anti-penultimate, so third from last. Then we'll have the penultimate, and then we'll have the finale.
Okay.
Anti-penultimate is third from the last, yeah.
Got it.
We'll be back next week. Because we're recording early this week because I'm going to be away next week. It's a whole thing. If you didn't see, we put out a Best in Show bonus podcast with our friend Stuart covering that film. So check that out. Of course, we're also putting out Buffy podcasts every Thursday. So check those out as well. You could find us at Shit90sPod, Twitter and Instagram, shit90spod.com. And then if you haven't checked out Talking Shit yet, with me and Stuart, where we're talking about Schitt's Creek, definitely check that out. We put out new podcasts every Friday. Anything else you want to say, Sarah, before we wrap things up?
No, I'm very curious still to see how the last three episodes will go. And I'm very curious what comes of the last three episodes of the first.
Yeah, because now that they're back together, it's like, are they going to end the season together?
Probably not. No, because they got picked together too soon. So
yeah, well, we'll see.
We be beefing. I guarantee it.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next week, everyone, have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit90shows.me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.